Okay, we're beginning on the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol menachot to unot, shlosh meot shifa, v'chamesh meot bi'ita. All the menachot require 300 shifa, which we'll explain in 1 second, and chamesh meot bi'ita. Bi'ita, in general, is used for kicking and not using your hands. Over here, almost all the Rishonim explain it having to do with the hands. We'll see over here, Rashi at the top here says, Shifa shemishafshef biyado, that he rubs it with his hands, shemolich umevi bepisat yado. He goes back and forth with the palm of his hands. So that's the shifa. Shifa means to roll it or to move it with the palm of your hands. Bi'ita shebo'et bahen bigabot etzbotav be'egrofo. So that he slams down on them, whether that's with the front of his fist or the side of his fist, he comes down and he pounds on them. That's the way Rashi explains it. If you look in Rashi in the Ktav Yad, Rashi over there brings shimishafshef achitim ben yadav. So Rashi in the Ktav Yad doesn't speak about rolling it with the palm of your hands, but rather rolling it between the palms of your hands. And then the bi'ita, he says, is bo'et bo'ovi egrof, Keterach HaGabalim, that he pounds down on it with the fist, the way that those that are kneading do it. O, Be'ovi Pasiado, She'esamuch Lizroa. Or, it's the area of the hand by the wrist, right by where it attaches to the forearm. He's pounding down with that part, the bottom of your hand, he's pounding down with that. Lishna Achrina, and this is the only time we see this, is Bita Beregel, is to do it with your foot. Obviously, the hard thing to understand is what you're doing with your feet here if you're dealing with dough. So that doesn't necessarily make so much sense, and that's why the Rishonim went in the other direction. The Ravenu Gershom over here says, Shifa Shimolilan. That's something we know. It's to roll the kernels. Bepisat yado, in the palm of his hand. Bikli, using a utensil. So here's the introduction of the possibility that there was a utensil used over here. The question as to why this is done has to do with what it was done to. And that's the next line of the Mishnah. Shifa ubita bichitin. The Tanakhama believes that this was done to the wheat kernels. If that's the case, the way that the Rishonim explained it over here, you can see in the Rashi Ktav Yad, the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rashi, that is kadesh ru aklipot, to take off the shells from the wheat kernels. This is a way to make sure that all of it released or was softened in the process before the milling of the kernels. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer Bebatzik, that this was done to the dough, and this is the way that they worked the dough, so that it'd be Isa Na'ah. So it'll be a nice dough, it'll be a clean, well-kneaded dough, and so therefore they mixed it and worked it over and over again. So that depends on whether you think it was done to the kernels or to the dough, as to how you would explain the purpose of the Shifa and the Bi'ita over here. Kol menachot ba'ot eser eser. All menachot come from 10 units. Meaning that after you make them, you break them up into 10 units before you bake them, and therefore you'll have 10 chalot. Chutz milechem apanim v'chabite kohen gadol. This we already discussed. Shein ba'ot 12, because they come in units of 12. The lechem apanim have 12 units, 6 on each stack, and the chabite kohen gadol are 12 split in half, machitzita baboker, machitzita be'erev. Tivrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's view is that the default or the standard is 10, and the exceptions are 12. Rabbi Meir Omer Kulam Ba'ot 12. The default is 12. Chutz Michalot Todah Unizirut, exception of the Chalot of the Todah, meaning the loaves of the Todah, and the Shalmei Nazir, the loaves that come with that, Shein Ba'ot Eser Eser, they come 10-10. Obviously, we're going to discuss here is that there are two paradigms of the number of units that you have. There's one paradigm of 10, one paradigm of 12, and the question is, which one of those paradigms is the default, and which one is the exception to the rule? And that's what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are arguing about. Machloket in the Rishonim as to whether the Shifa and the Bi'ita over here are me'akev. I mean, are they considered to be a part of the avoda of the Mincha? Or are they simply a prerequisite, or a preparatory stage to get in best shape? If you believe they're a part of the avoda of the Mincha, then you would obviously consider them to be me'akev. If you think they're just simply a mechanism for getting you to the point where you want to have the solit, then obviously they would not be ma'akev. If you have better technology or a better way to do it, then we'd be fine with that. And that would also have secondary ramifications, which is, does it have to be done by a kohen? If you think it's a part of the avodah, then it would have to be done by a kohen. If you think it's just a preparatory stage or facilitator of the end product that you need, then it could be even done by a zar, by Israel. And we're going to see notions of that throughout the Mishnayot that we'll see today, that there seem to be certain requirements, and the question always is, how integral are those requirements? It's just, this just a suggestion as to the best way to do it? Or are these really requirements which, if you deviate from them, you're going to have something that's pasul? And you could ask the same question with regards to our Mishnah as well. Tano, we have a braita. Shaf achad, boed shtaim. Shaf shtaim, boed shalosh. The way the processing goes is he does a shifa, one shifa, then he does two be'itot, then he goes back and does two shifot, and then he does shalosh, three be'itot. The reason to do that is that the ratio in the Mishnah is 300 shifot, 500 be'itot. So it's a 3-to-5 ratio. So what they just created here is a way to get to the 3-to-5 ratio, which is if you do one shifa, and then in the next round you do two shifot, that's the 3 shifot. And if the first round you do 2 bitot, and in the second round you do 3 bitot, that's the 5. So there's your 3-to-5 ratio to get you to the totality of 300 shifot and 500 bitot. And it's done by going cyclically through this over and over again. Shaf achad boed shtaim, shaf shtaim boed shalosh, and then you keep doing this 100 times until you hit the 300 and 500. Vayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, amtuye v'atuye chad, odilma amtuye v'atuye tre. When he goes back and forth, is that one? And when he goes back and forth, is that two? We had a similar question with regards to the lulav back on Samach Bet, where it came to the nanuye ha'ulav, where it says molich umevi. And the Gemara had a similar question with regards to the Nanunei Lulav. Is Molich Umevi Chad? Is back and forth with the Lulav considered to be one Nanua? Or is each direction, when you go out, is one, and when you come back, it's two? And I have a similar question here. When you go out and back, when you move your hands, roll them forward and back, is that considered to be one, or is that considered to be two? Tekum. The Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue. The Sfat Emet over here declares that he thinks that if you did it in one direction, as shifa, and then you did a bi'ita, he says for sure that would count as one. The only question is, when you do back and forth of a shifa before you do a bi'ita, that's where the Gemara's question is it considered to be one or two? So in an isolated scenario, it's clear that either direction would be considered one. The question only arises when you do both directions before you move to the next process of bi'ita. Right now, the Gemara says, shifa bi'ita b'chitin, that's the view of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi omer b'batzek, ibayilo b'batzek v'lo b'chitin. When Rabbi Yossi comes to say that you do it on the batzek, is that exclusively on the batzek and not on the kernels? Odoma, he's saying, af b'batzek, also on the batzek, also on the dough you do this, not just on the wheat kernels. Tashma, come and hear a proof from the Tanya we have in the Tosefta. Shifa ubi'ita bechitim. The shifa and bi'ita are done on the chitim Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shifa ubi'ita bebatzeik. It's done on the batzeik. So this is a very difficult proof because the Tosefta doesn't seem to offer anything more than we have in the Mishnah. It's giving their difference of opinion. And it doesn't tell us when Rabbi Yossi says that the shifa ubi'ita is bebatzeik. Does he mean solely on the batzeik, or does he mean af bebatzeik? So there's some that just simply say the fact that he said shifa ubi'ita bebatzeik indicates that that's exclusive in nature, and that's the proof that the Gemara is bringing over here. But if you look on the left side there, you'll see Nusach Achrina. There is an alternate girsa in the Tosefta, and this would really solve the problem, which is shifa bebechitin ubi'ita bebatzeik. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that you do shifa with the chitim and bi'ita with the batzeik. I mean, these are two different processes, one that's used by the kernels and one that is used by the batzeik. So then that would answer our question. He's not saying af bi'batzeik. He's saying that there's one process for the chitim, one process for the batzeik. But there it's clear what Rabbi Yossi's opinion is vis-a-vis the chitim. The chitim gets shifa, the batzeik gets bi'ita. And from that, it would be easy to solve the problem that the Gemara is asking, because that Lashon in the Braita would very much help you. The Balei HaTosafot, if you look, bring a third view, which is Perish Belo B'chitin. Tosafot reads it when it says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Shifa B'ita B'batzeik, he reads it as being exclusive. That means only Batzeik, not Chitim. And the addition of the word Shifa and B'ita in the Tosefta are what sway us in that direction. He says, Ube Tosefta Garsinan, af bebatzeik. Says in the Tosefta, we have a girsa that says af bebatzeik. And obviously that would also solve the problem, which is, if Rabbi Yossi's statement was shifa ubita af bebatzeik, then the word af would tell us what he meant to say over here. He says, ube Tosefta diyunktit lo garsinen af. He says in the good girsa ot, in the Tosefta ot, there is no word af. So again, here we have three different girsaot in the Tosefta, and each one of them would lead us to a different conclusion. If you have af, it would be the batzeik in addition to the chitim. if you just have what's written in our Gemaras, you would say batzeik and not chitim. And if you have the girsa that we saw on the left side of the Gemara, then you would say that shifa by the chitin, bita by the batzeik. Lechem apanim behejak tivbei. The lechem apanim have explicitly that there is 12 units that come along with it, that it says, lakachta solet, vafita ota, shtemesre chalot, shnei asunim yachala echat. So over there, it's straightforward that there are 12 that come. Chavite goen gadol, achya chuka chuka milechem apanim. And then at the end of the parshia, we've already used this earlier in the Masechta, it says at the end of that parshia, Belechem Apanim, Vaital Aron Ubanav, Vachalua Bemakom Kadosh, Ki Kodesh Kodoshim Holo, Mishe Hashem, Chak Olam. So there you have the word Chak or Chuka that is used with regards to Lechem Apanim. And by the Chavite Kohen Gadol, we also have the word Chok that is used there, which is Vakohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav, Yaseh Ota, Chak Olam LaShem Kalil Taktar. So we have Gzer Shava of Chuka Chuka, and therefore the Lechem Apanim is explicit that it's 12, and through the Gzer Shava, then you also have 12 by the Minchat Chavitin. Tosfot over here says, Tema, B'terek Perakamo, Darshinan Chuka, the Chavitin. Uvekometz Rabba, Darshinan, Chuka, the Lechem Apanim. It says that we already have Droshot that we learn from the word Chuka, and therefore, how is it available over here to make the Gzeira Shava? Generally, we need something to be Mufnet, otherwise there could be logical arguments that could undermine it. And so Tosafot is just asking, we seem to have used the words already, how they are available for this Gzeira Shava. Kol HaMenachot Dibaot Eser Eser Minolan. How do you know that the remainder of the Menachot come in units of 10? When it says, Gamar Milachmei Todah. That you learn from the 40 units of the Lachmei Todah, because by the Lachmei Todah, we know that there are 40 units or 10 of each type of the lachamim that are brought, because it says chuma, which we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, chumat maser is 1/10. So to the chuma over here is 1/10. So if you're getting 1 unit to the kohen, that means that you have a totality of 10 units, and that's how we know by the todah, explicitly, quote-unquote, that there are 10 chalot for each min that is brought over there. And so then once we know that by lachmei todah, we're going to extrapolate that to all the other minachot. Malahalan eser, just like over there it's 10, Avkan Eser. So too over here, it's going to be 10. So when it says, Leilef mi lechem apanim. Why would you learn from Lachmei Todah versus Lechem Apanim? Lachmei Todah gives you the paradigm of 10. Lechem Apanim gives you a paradigm of 12. You just said, okay, all menachot, we're going to learn from Todah. Why don't we just learn them from Lechem Apanim? Malahalan Shtemisri, Avkan Shtemisri. And say, just like the Lechem Apanim is 12, so too all menachot would be 12. Where it says, Mistavra mi Lachmei Todah v'le the Melef. Makes more sense to learn from the Lachmei Todah. Because Shekain, these are items, are the common denominator between Lachmei Todah and the Minachot. Number one is Yachid. They're both Korbanot HaYachid, as opposed to Lechem Abanim, which is a Korban Tzibur. Hamitna Dev, both the Todah and the Mincha are voluntary offerings, as opposed to Lechem Abanim, which is a mandatory offering. Shemen, they both require oil, as opposed to Lechem Abanim, that does not require oil. Nifsal, Belina, that is that they become pasul when you leave them overnight or past their time. That's true by the mincha. That's true by the todah or the lachmei todah. That's not true by the lechem apanim because you leave them on the shulchan from week to week. They're on there for 8 days. Shelo b'shabbat, mincha and todah can only be brought on a weekday. They cannot be brought on Shabbat. On the other hand, the lechem apanim is doche Shabbat because it is a korbanat tzibur, that is a chovat, a zman. Shelo b'tumah, again, the Korban Mincha of the Yachid and the Todah can only be brought if you are Tahor, as opposed to the Lechem Apanim, which are Korbanet Tzibur, that can be Doche Tumah. So you have 6 things that are a common denominator between the Mincha Yachid and the Todah. Where it says, Adarabal, the Lechem Apanim of the Melef. There are a lot of things that are common between the Lechem Apanim and the Minachot, Shekain. The things that are common between them are Hekdesh. Hekdesh here is a representation of Kodesh Kodoshim, which is a Mincha, is Kodesh Kodoshim. And so is the Lechem Apanim, our Kodshei Kodoshim. On the other hand, the Todah is Kodshim Kalim. Ulevona, both the Lechem Apanim require the Bazichei Levona, and a regular Mincha comes with Levona. On the other hand, the Lechmei Todah do not come with Levona. Matzah, both the Minchat Ayachid and the Lechem Apanim are brought from Matzot, not Chametz. The Lechmei Todah, as we know, at least 10 of them are Chametz. Ve'etzem, both the Minchat Yachid and the Lechem Apanim come because of themselves, they are their own item, as opposed to the lachmei todah that come because of the zevach, because of the todah itself. So here you have four items that are common between them. Hanach nefishan, the Gemara says, well, six versus four, six is more. So there are more reasons to have the Minchat Yachid track the Lachmei Todah versus tracking the Lechem Apanim. Mar says, V'is viralan davar alameid b'gzera shava chuzera mulameid b'binyan av. Now, if we believe that something that can be learned through a gzera shava could then also then go and teach through a binyan av, so the gzera shava that we're referring to over here is the gzera shava of chok that we have between Lechem Apanim and the Minchat Chavitin. So that established the 12, not only for the Lechem Apanim, but now for the Minchat Chavitim as well. Then once you have that information, you can use it through a binyanav. Rashi, the Mefaresh over here, says, V'lav b'binyanav hu, it's not really a binyanav, ela b'mei matzinu. It's a mei matzinu that says that we have a mincha, and a mincha that already has units of 12. So let us say, just like we find over there that you have 12 by a mincha, so too, it should apply to all menachot. For in essence, what the Gemara is saying is, forgetting about the gzera shava, or the comparison between mincha to lechem apanim versus lachmei todah, just simply say that you learn from lechem apanim to minchat chavitin. So you've already brought the 12 into the world of menachot. So now, from the minchat chavitin, let us learn b'mei matzino or binyanav to the other menachot that are there to teach us that you should have 12 instead of 10. That's the question of the Gemara now. Neilif mechavite kohen gadol, and we'll learn from the chavite kohen gadol. Malalan shtemisre, just like the chavite kohen gadol are 12, afkan shtemisre, so too the minchat yachid should also be 12. Where it says mistaver melachmei todah avle the meilif, it's more logical to compare the minchat yachid to the lachmei todah than to compare it to the minchat chavitin shekein, because hedyot, they're both things that are brought by individuals. In the Minchat Yachid and the Todah are brought by Yisraelim, by regular individuals, as opposed to Minchat Chavitin that's brought by the Kohen Gadol, or possibly a Kohen when he goes into service. Shem Hitna Dev, both the Minchat Yachid and the Todah are voluntary korbanot, as opposed to the Minchat Chavitin, which is an obligatory korban. Chatzayin, the Minchat Chavitin comes in two parts. Machitzita Baboker, Machitzita Ba'erev, which is not true by the Minchat Yachid, and the Lachmei Todah, they all come as a single unit. Lepigul, both the Lachmei Todah and the Minchat Yachid have pigul in them because they have a matir. They have something that goes on the Mizbech that's matir l'shirayim. That's the komets for the Minchat Yachid. And that is the kvasim that go on the Mizbech that are matir the Lachmei Todah. So therefore they have a matir that allows achila, and that means that there could be pigul over here, as opposed to the minchat chavitin, which goes kalil on the mizbeach. It goes totally on the mizbeach. It's matir itself. If that's the case, there's no pigul, because there's no matir that has shirayim l'achila. Shalom b'shabbat, both the minchat yachid and the todah have to be brought on a weekday, not shabbat, as opposed to chavitin, which is doche shabbat. Shalom b'tumah, and again, it overrides tumah, the chavitin, because it's classified as a minchat tzibur, even though technically it's only brought by the Kohen Gadol, but it's doche tumah, as opposed to the minchat yachid and the todah, which are not doche tumah. Adarabah, mechavite Kohen Gadol avilei nemelef. Makes more sense to compare it to the chavitin shekein, because we have these things in common. Isaron. Both the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the Mincha come from a single Isaron, as opposed to the Lachmei Todah that come from 20 Isaron that are split up. In the Chametz portion of it, each Chala, the 10 Chalot of Chametz, get an Isaron each, that's 10 of it. And the other Esronot are split between the three areas of Matzah, the 30 units that are there, so that each Chala has a third of Isaron. But that's different than the Minchat Yachid and Minchat Chavitin, which both come from an Isaron. Kli, both the Minchat Chavitin and the Minchat Yachid require a Kli, which is not true by the Lachmei Todah. Hekdesh, they're both Kodesh Kodoshim. That's true by the Minchat Yachid, that's true by the Chavite Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the Todah, which is only Kodshim Kalim. Ulevona, there's a requirement of Ulevona, both by the Minchat Chavitin and by the Minchat Yachid, which is not true by the Lachmei Todah. Matzah, both the Minchat Yachid and Minchat Chavitin come as Matzah, not Chametz, as opposed to the Todah, which has Chametz. The Etzem, they both come because of themselves, not by something else, versus the Todah, where the Lachamim are an accompaniment to the Korban Todah itself. Hagashah, both the Minchat Yachid and Minchat Chavitin require Hagashah touching it to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, which is not true by the Lachmei Todah, the Ishim. And something ends up on the fire on the Mizbeach by the Minchat Yechidi of the Kometz that ends up on the Mizbeach. By the Minchat Chavitin, the entirety of it ends up on the Mizbeach, it's Kalil. Whereas the Lachmei Todah, none of it end up on the Mizbeach. The Todah's dam and chalavim and fats go on the Mizbeach, and you give one-tenth of the lechamim from the Todah to the Kohen as a truma, but none of that ends up on the Mizbeach. And here you have a bigger problem, Bahani Nefishan. The parallels between the Minchat Yechid and Minchat Chavitin are actually in excess of those that are common between the Minchat Yechid and the Korban Todah. There are 8 commonalities between the Minchat Chavitin and Minchat Yechid, and there are only 6 common denominators between the Minchat Yechid and the Todah. So then why are you learning from the Todah rather than learn from the Chavitin? And in that way, you would actually come to the opposite conclusion that Minchat Yechid should have 12 units. My answer is Hejot, Mehejot, Adiflei. We have a trump card. Even though there are more things in common between the Minchat Yechid and the Minchat Chavitin, the idea that it's brought by a layperson is the governing principle over here. And Lachmei Todah and Minchat Yechid are both brought by lay people, and therefore the comparison makes more sense than comparing it to the Minchat Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, which is brought by the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kulam Ba'ot 12. Rabbi Meir has a differing opinion, which is that the Minchat Yechid all come from 12 units. So now, my kasavar. What is the Shita of Rabbi Meir? Now, the way that we're going to explain the Shita of Rabbi Meir is based on what we dismissed from the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is Isvir Le, the Devar Lameid, Begzera Shava, Chuzer Melameid, Bebinyanav. If he subscribes to the position that once you've learned from Begzera Shava, you could then take that Limud and extend it through a Binyanav or Mematzinu, Yalif Mechavite de Kohen Gadol. Then the source for Rabbi Meir is the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, especially the Hani Nefishan, because the commonalities between the Minchat Yechid and the Minchat Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol exceeded those of the comparison or commonalities between the Minchat Yechid and the Lachmei Todah. So for him, there's a good reason, if you believe you can make such a limud, to say that it would come from the Minchat Chavitin. If he thinks that you can't take the Minchat Chavitin, which you learned from the Lechem Ofanim, that it's 12, and then extend it to the other Menachot, because you can't have a Binyanav built on top of Gzer Shava, Yalif me Lechem Ofanim. He'll learn it because of the parallel between the Minchat Yechid and the Lechem Ofanim. We just said before that there are more commonalities between the Minchat Yechid and the Todah versus the Lechem Apanim. Hekdesh mehekdesh avdiflei. Kodeshei kodeshim from Kodeshei kodeshim gives precedence, he gives priority to that limud, and that trumps all other comparisons that you might make. And therefore the Minchat Yechid, which is Kodesh kodeshim, you would more likely learn it from Lechem Apanim, which is Kodeshei kodeshim, versus learning it from the Lachmei Todah, which are only Kodeshim Kalim. Alright, Chutz Melachmei Todah V'Nizirut Shein Ba'ot Eser Eser. So just here I'm going to take a slight digression, which is that the Mishnah here covers a certain amount of Menachot, but doesn't give you an exhaustive list of the Menachot. There are 2 in particular that are left out, and the question is, what is the status of those items, or what is the halacha with regards to them? The Mishnah tells us the 2 opinions with regards to Minchat Yechid, so whether it's 10 or 12. And then it tells us that Chavitin and Lechem Apanim, everybody agrees, are 12. And the Chalot Todah and those of the Nizirut are definitely 10. So that's all the different Menachot and the number of units that you have. The 2 Menachot that are left out over here that aren't clear as to what their status is. The first of which is the Minchat Solet. Minchat Solet, the Mishnah never addresses as to whether that is units of 10 or it has no units at all. The reason you might think that there are no units at all is because it's solet, it's flour. And if you never believe that it gets baked in the process, the minchat solet, then there'd be no reason to break it up into 10 chalot, because there are no chalot. It's given to the Kohen, and then the Kohen himself bakes it or does whatever he wants with the solet to make it into a mincha that he eats, or the shiraim that he eats. That's the view of the Rambam, that there is no requirement of chalot, there's no requirement of any units, because they're never divided into units. It's done as solet, and the baking's done by the Kohen. The other hand, throughout the Masechta, there are a number of places where Rashi seems to indicate that the solet was also made of 10 chalot. And you can see that in the Rashi in Tavyad, where he says, Minchat solet nami afagav tekodem afiyanik metzet. even though the kmitza is taken up while it's still flour. Afterwards, they make it into 10 units, into 10 chalot. And it seems that Rashi believes that the application here of minchat yachid applies not only to just the other minachot, but even to the minchat solet. And there is a requirement to break it up into 10 units and bake it, even though it's a minchat solet. The second question comes up with regards to a minchat choteh. What's the status there in terms of breaking it up into chalot? That doesn't have the trappings of the minachot that we've discussed until now, because it's not a voluntary offering. It's an obligatory offering. So if you look in the Shita Mikvetzot Bet, he says that the answer to that question is based on a mechloket that we saw earlier, which is the man damar minchat choteh migavla b'mayim, that you need it in water, then af minchat choteh bichlal. The minchat choteh is included in the world of minachot, and you break it up into 10 units. But the man damar, the one who said before that minchat choteh is chareva, totally dry, which means that not only do you not put oil in it, but you don't put any water in it either, ein minchat choteh bichlal. The minchat choteh is not included in the minachot, because again, you're not kneading it to a dough to break it up into 10 units, and therefore there's no reason to break it up into 10 units according to that man damar. The Shita Mikvetzot parallels that machloket about whether you put water into a minchat choteh with the question as to whether a minchat choteh would have 10 units or not. And again, minchat solet seems to be a machloket Rashi and the Rambam, whether you would break it up into 10 units or you leave it as solet. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. Chutz melachmei todah unzirut, shein ba'ot eser eser. They come in units of 10. Lachmei todah behedjaktiv buhu. It's written explicitly that they require 10. Nizirut, how do we know nizirut? That's because it says im al todat shilamav. The word shlamim is said in plural. So the Gemara learns from that, Amar Mar, Shlamav l'rabot shalmei nazir, comes to include or subsume within it the shlamim of the nazir, and that is the breads of the shalmei nazir will have the same status as the breads of the lachmei todah, and just like the lachmei todah come in units of 10, so too the breads of the nazir are going to come in units of 10. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, lachmei todah shafan arba cholot yatza, bidi avad. If you didn't make the four different types of breads that come along with the lachmei todah, if you didn't make them into units of 10, but rather you made it, each one of them was a single unit, then b'diavad, that works. V'habinan arba'im, don't we need 40? We're going to learn that in tomorrow's daf, that we need 40. L'mitzvah, that's l'chatchila. But b'diavad, even without the 40, you're yotze. V'habaya frushe truma minayu, don't you have to take off a tenth, a portion for the kohen? Now, that wouldn't be a problem. Just take off a piece. You take one-tenth of each of them, you break it off, and you give it to the Kohen. The Gemara says, Echad Amar Rachmana, Shlo Yitol Pros. The Torah says that what you have to give to the Kohen is V'ikrivi Menu Echad Mikol Korban Truma LaHashem LaKohen Hazorek Adam HaShlamim Lo Yiyah. So there it uses the word Echad. And the Gemara darshins from the word Echad, Shlo Yitol Pros. It has to be a single unit, and not a broken piece. It can't be broken off of a bigger piece, and then you're giving him a smaller piece. It has to be a full unit in and of itself. Well, if you only have four units over here, because you have each type you made one unit for, then there's no way to break it off and give a truma to the kohen without breaking the bread. And that's problematic, because you need it to be echad. My answer is that frashinu belisha, that they already separated out the portion of the kohen when they were kneading it. So they made these four big units. Instead of breaking them up into 10 each, they just made it into one big unit. But before they baked it, they took off a piece of it, which would be the truma in the future. And then, to bake, it would become kadosh with the shechita tatodah. And you can see that in the Balei Tosafot, where he says, the chora, they ain't shame truma lehem, b'isa. That when they're dough, they don't have a shame truma. Because when it comes to the imbuing of kedusha into lachmei todah, that happens at the point of the shechting of the korban todah, and so too over here, the kedusha will not be imbued until the shechting of the todah, and that only happens after the breads are baked, because the breads aren't baked in time, they do not become kadosh with the shechita tazevach. But what they did was they separated it out beforehand, the amount that would be for the truma from the dough, that way it's a whole and not a piece of a whole, and in that way you can accomplish the hafresha, and also just bake it into four different chalot. Mar says, meitave, kol ha-menachot shiriba b'midat chalatan, o shmiyet b'midat chalatan. If you exceeded the number, or you were below the number, ksherot. Those are all fine b'diavad. Chutz milechem apanim v'chadvite kohen gadol v'lachme todah v'nizirut. There are four exceptions to that. The lechem apanim and the chavite kohen gadol. The lechem apanim we know because they have units of 12 explicitly stated by it. The chavite kohen gadol are learnt from the lechem apanim. And the lachme todah v'nizirut over here are also where we have explicit limud to tell us that it is 10 units. So over there, it's going to be ma'akev that you have 10 units. Rashi over here brings two different interpretations as to what it means that you were riba or miyet. He either says that riba means that you made each one bigger, so that means you have less of them. You made each one bigger, so instead of having 10, you have 6 now, but then riba, each one was bigger. Miyet is that you made each one smaller, and therefore now you have more units because you made them smaller. Or the other way to read them is riba, it just means quantitatively. There are more numerically of the chalot now. You have 12 instead of 10. Or mi'eit is you have 8 instead of 10. So he reads it either as referencing to the actual number of the item or the item itself, how big it is, and that will influence how many of them you have. So here the Braita says that if you deviate in any way from the number that you're supposed to have, then it is pasul. So how can Rav Huna come along and tell us that it is kasher? So Gemara says, Huda amar ki haitano. Rav Tuvi bar Kisna, in the name of Shmuel, was following this Tana. Tanya, we have a Braita. Kol ha-menachot shiriba b'midat chalatan o shmi'et b'chalatan. If you had too many, too few, too big, too small, ksherot, they're all kasher b'diavad, chutz milechem apanim v'chavite kohen gadol. With the exception of the lechem apanim v'chavite kohen gadol, v'yesh omrim af lachmei todah unizirut. And we also have that some say that the lachmei todah and the zirut are also included. So the yesh omrim is the same opinion as we found in the Braita before, that all four of them are problematic. The Tana Kamma only says lechem apanim and chavite kohen gadol were problematic, not the lachmei todah and the zirut. And Shmuel is going to hold like the Tana Kamma of this Braita that we just brought. Amar Rav Huna, minchat me'afe, shafach halachat yatza. So Rav Huna comes along and says something that doesn't seem to be a chiddush because of the fact that we already had Shmuel tell us that if you take the lachmei todah and you bake them as a single unit, they are okay, even though you're supposed to have a larger number. We saw that from the statement of Shmuel with regards to the lachmei todah. We brought the braitot that seemed to extend that and say that's true by the minachot. So minchat mafet tanur is also a type of mincha. So why is it that Rav Huna has to come and tell us this din? Shafach halachat yatza. My time, what's the reason over here? Matzat ketiv. So if you look by the mafet tanur, the pasuk says the following: v'chiter kriv kurban mincha mafet tanur solet chalot matzot bilulot b'shemen urkikei matzot mishuchim b'shemen. The first matzot of chalot matzot bilulot b'shemen is written chaser without a vav in it. So then you would read it as matzat, as one matzah versus matzot. And the second one, the urkikei matzot, is written with the vav there, malei, not a chaser. And so Rav Huna says the reason that you can bring it as one is because of the word matzot is spelled chaser. So since it's chaser, it indicates to you that one would be sufficient. Oh, so that's a good question. I mean that you're supposed to bring them as 10 or 12, depending if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir. And here he says if you bring them as one, instead of 10 or 12, it is kasher. What he doesn't address is what happens if you bring it as 3, 4, or 5. That he does not address. And you could say that going either way. Once the Torah already says that the 10 are not ma'akev, that it doesn't matter what the number is. Or, are you saying that the limud of matzot chaser says the only two options? The option's 10 and 1, or 12 and 1. There's no other option in between. I think that we'd probably likely lean more towards the first explanation, which is once it says 10 isn't important, then you can do whatever number b'diavad is going to work down to the lowest that you could get, which would be 1. Matkiv la rapapa, time adichtiv matzot. Because it writes it matzot chaser, haktiv matzot, had it written it malay, lo, it would not have been the case. V'hagabe lachmei todah, dichtiv matzot. By lachmei todah, the word matzot, when it mentions the matzot of the lachmei todah, is written malay. It says there, im al todah yakrivenu, v'kriv al zevach todah, chalot matzot, malay, v'lulo b'shemen, urikike matzot, malay, mishuchim b'shemen, v'solet murbechet chalot, v'lulo b'shemen. So you hear the word matzot is malay by the case of the todah, and yet, we know, Amar Rav Tuvi bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Lachmei Todah, Shafan Arba Chalot, Yatza, that you're Yotze with that. My answer is, how old Pliga? He argues on that. That Rav Huna argues on Shmuel with regards to this issue. Now, Rav Pumpa's question is somewhat strange, because We just brought a braita before that gave two opinions. There was one braita that said that Achmei Todah, you have to bring them at that exact number. And there was another opinion in the braita that b'diavad, if you deviate from the number, it's okay. And we said Shmuel held like that Tana, who thinks that if you deviate from the number, it's okay b'diavad. Even though there's another Tana that says that it is me'akeid. So then what's Rav Papa's question? He's asking on Rav Huna from Shmuel's din, all Rav Huna has to say is it's a machloket Tanaim. I subscribe to one Tana, and Shmuel subscribes to the other Tana. I subscribe to the Tana that says that Lachmei Todah is Ma'akev. Matzo Malay does result in it being Ma'akev, and you can only bring 10. Versus Shmuel, who thinks that it's okay to bring less than 10, and he's not darshning the Matzot, and he holds like that other Tana. So it's, again, somewhat of a strange question, what Rav Papa is asking over here. What you have to say is that he's very focused on the reasoning given by Rav Huna. Once Rav Huna established a principle with regards to Chaser Malay, he's almost deviating from the Machloket Tanaim, or even from what Shmuel said. And he's laying down a principle with regards to the spelling of the word. And what Rav Papa is asking him is that really true? We see otherwise. Given that we see otherwise, then how could it be that Shmuel would argue on you? Shmuel would have to agree with you. So the answer is, that's part of this Machloket Amoraim over here, between Rav Huna and Shmuel. Okay, next Mishnah. Omer Abaya Ba Isaron Mishalosh Sa'in. It starts out with a raw material of 3 sa'a, and then you whittle it down to an isaron. We saw this at the beginning of Perek Rabbi Shmuel, where we had to bring either 3 sa'a or 5 sa'a to process the omer. Shtei alechem, shtei esronim, mishalosh sa'in. You start with the same raw material, but you get from it 2 isaron instead of 1 isaron. Lechem apanim are esrim v'arba esronim, because as we read before, the lechem apanim are 12 units of 2 isaron each. So 2 times 12 is 24 isaron. Me esrim v'arba sa'in, from 24 sa'in. So the ratio is dropping. You can see that in this case. In the first instance, you have 3 sa'a producing 1 isaron. In the second case, you have 3 sa'a producing 2 isaron. And in the last case, you have each sa'a producing an isaron. So it would seem that you're getting the finest for the omer, somewhat less fine for the shtei lechem, and then the most coarse for the lechem apanim. The only difference is, as we're going to note here in the Gemara, that they come from different raw materials. And that is really what's influential over here. My taima. What's the reason that the omer comes from 3 sa'a and you whittle it down to an isaron? Kevin de mechadash ati, because it's coming from the new grains. Umis se'orim ati, and it also comes from barley. Isaron mufchar lo ati elo mishalosh sa'in. That means, as Rashi says here, there's going to be more waste, more bran, more discard that comes from it. Number one, because it's barley versus wheat, which has more parts need to be taken out in order to get to the solet, as well as the fact that it's coming from chodosh, it's not dried out. The dried out kernel will give you a better or finer flour than the moist kernel. So because the omer has both deficits, both the fact that it is moist and the fact that it's coming from se'orah, that means that you start out with 3 sa'ah and whittle it down to an isaron. Shtei lechem has only one of those two deficits. Shtei esronot mishlosh sa'in, kevin de mechitin atyon, afa obgav de mechadosh atyon. Shtei esronot atu mishlosh sa'in. Similar to the omer, it's coming from the new grain, which is likely moist and not dried out. But on the other hand, it's coming from wheat and not barley. So since wheat gives you less refuse, less discard, so then it's easier to whittle down 3 sa'ah to 2 isaron when you're talking about chitin, even though there's still a deficit in the fact that it's moist or a newer grain. The reason that the shtei lechem come from chodosh is because it's the wheat harvest. The barley harvest was what the omer was brought from. The wheat harvest ends right before Shavuot. So the grains that you're bringing in, it's the first wheat that's brought in the mikdash. Now technically, the wheat out in the gvulin was nitar yedei the omer. But realistically, the wheat that you have here is harvested in the period of time between Pesach and Atzeret. And so the wheat that you got is all new wheat, and that's what's going to be brought in the Mikdash. It's not something that sat a whole year and dried out. It's from the new harvest, what you're bringing over here. It hasn't had time to dry out. Lechem apanim, esrim v'arba esronot, mi esrim v'arba sa'in. It's 1-to-1 ratio, my daima, because it has neither of the deficits. Kevin de mechitin atu, umi yashan atu. Since it comes from both wheat and it comes from dried material from the previous year, isaron mufchar ati misa'a. You can get a good isaron of solid from a lower starting point, from a sa'ah, will produce what you need. Tanu banan, kol haminachot shiriba b'midat esronan. Any mincha where you increase the Isaron, or you reduce the Isaron, psulot, that is, me'akeiv, even b'diavad. Riba b'midat se'in shalhen, o'shimi'et b'midat se'in shalhen, k'sherot. On the other hand, if you increase or decrease the raw materials that you started with, that is not me'akeiv, then they are still kasher. So there, it goes back to your question at the beginning of the daf, are these things me'akeiv or not? The answer is, the isaron, which is specified in the Torah, is me'akeiv. The sa'in, or the starting point, which is the amount of raw material that will give you the result that you're looking for, that is not me'akeiv. That's just a suggestion, or a strong suggestion, that if you want to get to where you have the isaron in the end of solet, this is the amount of raw material you should start with. But if you don't start with that, it's not me'akeiv, because it's not a part of the processing of the mincha. It's not me'akeiv, the mincha and its avodah. It's simply a facilitator or a prerequisite to getting to the amount that you need. Now, in terms of increasing or decreasing the Isaron, Rashi and the Ktav Yad brings two different possibilities. The first possibility is that if you have more than an Isaron there when you bring the mincha, the problem is when you take the komets off of the mincha, you're going to be taking off a komets that is not malay, that is not a full komets. Because he goes in there, say for instance you brought 1.5 isaron instead of 1 isaron. That extra half isaron is het there. It is not a mincha. So now when he goes in to take off the komets, he's going to get a sample of heter and isur, something that is 1/3 heter, 2/3 isur. So when he takes off the komets is going to be comprised of 1/3 of items that are not mincha, that don't need to be nitar yedei the komets, 2/3 of isur, which is needs to be nitar yedei the komets. But that means you have a deficit in your komets, because your komets is 1/3 heter, which is not something that needs to be taken off of the mincha, and it's not part of the komets. And therefore, that's what the problem is over here, that if you bring too much in terms of the isaron, you're going to end up with a deficit in your komets. Because your komets is going to be comprised of parts that are necessary and parts that are not necessary, and it'll be less than a komets' worth of that which you took off from the mincha. Or the other way around, if you bring less than an isaron, and then you take off a full komets, the mincha is going to be chasera. The residual of the mincha is going to be less than should be there, because you took off a komets, and what remains is less than an isaron. That's the way Rashi in the Ktav Yad explains it. He brings a second explanation, which is, it's a reference to the Minchat Nesachim, where it says, Shlosha Esronim Napar, Shnei Esronim Na'ayon, V'Isaron Na'keves. And it's a Gzeret HaKatov, that you have to bring an isaron. That's the rule, you just gotta bring an isaron, nothing more and nothing less, it is a Gzeret HaKatov. Rashi, or the Miyuchas Rashi, the Mefaresh, says that the isaron, you don't bring it too gadush, too piled up, or too machuk, or too knocked out. So there, he seems to be saying, like the first interpretation of the Rashi and Ktav Yad, that you brought either too much or too little. The Baal Yad Tosafot, commenting on this view of the Rashi and the Ktav Yad, says he doesn't think it's right. And that's because we learned back on Daf Chof Dalet, that Komets V'dato de Kohen Talya Milta, that when the Kmitza is taken off, it has to do with what the Kohen is thinking, and how he's thinking about it. And therefore, when he takes off from the Mincha, he intends to only take off from the Isaron that's there, even though there is excess. And so therefore he says, if it's B'tayu B'deidat HaKohen, then you can get around this problem of having a Komets that's comprised of partly Heter, partly Isur. It's really all Isur, because that's what the Kohen wanted. He was intending to take it off of the Isaron, and his intent governs with regards to the Komets. So therefore the Baal Yad Tosafot favor the second interpretation in Rashi, that it is a Gzeirat HaKatov, and that Isaron is an Isaron, and you have to bring exactly an Isaron. What's interesting is that there's a Tosafot back on Yud Amud Bet, and the Tosafot back on Yud Amud Bet discusses why when you take off a Komets that has a Tzror in it, that has a stone in it, that the Komets is considered to be Chaser, and it is problematic. Tosafot is bothered by the fact that why don't you worry about the fact that the Shiraim are also missing? Why does it have to be that the stone or the rock came out of the mincha, and therefore the komets is in deficit? Even if he didn't take it out, there was a little stone inside of the shirayim, that would be a mincha shechasera, kodem kmitza, before the kmitza, it's psula. So Tosfot over there says, v'yesh lomar, she'en rigilot litzamtzema isaron. They never bring the isaron exactly. Shelo yebo me'at yoter. It must have a little more. Tosfot over there makes a suggestion, he gives other answers afterwards, but he makes a suggestion there, that when they brought the korbanei mincha in the mincash, and it was of an isaron, they used to top it off a little bit. Or they used to give a little more than an isaron, in order to prevent the problems of deficit if there was something else mixed in there, if there was any problem at all. The Tosfot doesn't say they measured it out or they did it. He just says that it has to be that way. But that means because the measurements are not exact, even though they had an Isaron in the Mikdash, nevertheless, maybe people were just careful and they gave a little more. But from there, it sounds like you do put in a little more than would be necessary. And then again, Tosafot the Shitato over here would say that if you take off a komets from that, it's bedato shel kohen, and that's not a deficit, that's not a problem. The problem here is a gzeret ha-katuv that has to be exactly an Isaron. Lo nitein the malachei sharet. So if you put in a drop more than Isaron, a little less than Isaron, we're not worried about that little deviation. And Tosafot says they would favor putting in a little more so that it doesn't have a deficit if there's something else mixed into it. Alright, next Mishnah. Ha-omer ayah menupa b'shloshesrei nafa. So the omer was sifted through 13 different sieves. Shtei lechem, the shtei lechem go b'shtei misre. They go through 12. The lechem apanim b'yudalef. And the lechem apanim go through 11. Your question here is relevant again as to whether this is ma'akev, or is this just the easiest way or the best way to do it? Is it a suggestion, or is it a halacha in the avodat ha-korban? Do you require this for the mincha, or is this just the way to do it? If you can get to it otherwise, then it would not be ma'akev. B'shimon omer, lo yalem kitzva. There was no fixed number. Ela solit minupa kol tzarcha ayam evi. You bring solit that is sifted and as clean as possible, and that's what you bring there. Shenemar v'lakachta solit ve'afita ota. By the lechem apanim, it specifies that v'lakachta solit ve'afita ota shtem esrei chalot shnei asunim yachalachat. So there are 2 points that Rabbi Shimon is making. Number one is that you bring it as solit. You're not bringing chitin to the mikdash. You're bringing it already as fine flour to the mikdash. So that's number one. You're not sifting it or doing anything like that because you're buying it pre-made. Number two is, there's no governing principle as to how many sieves you put it through. You got to do whatever's necessary to get to the solet. So those are the 2 things that Rabbi Shimon says over here. And if you look in Rashi in the Ktav Yad on the Mishnah, he says, "Loyem kitzva alechem apanim koi." He suggests that Rabbi Shimon's only arguing about the lechem apanim, but not arguing about the omer and the shtei alechem. So that would be interesting because that might also indicate the fact that these are integral, at least with regards with the omer and the shtei alechem, that they're more integral than it is by the case of the lechem apanim, because that's the only place where Rabbi Shimon argues, at least according to the Rashi and the Ktav Yad. Now, if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, he says, "Haya menupeh b'yud gimel nafeh halacha l'moshe misinai." That this is halacha l'moshe misinai, which would imply that it's integral to the avoda, and without it, you can't be yotzei the din of mincha here. It's an absolute requirement, not just a part of getting to solet or a facilitator of getting to solet. All right, Tanur Banan. So now we have a braita. Bidaka, bigasa, bidaka, bigasa. You alternate between a fine sieve and a coarse sieve. You go back and forth, one to the next, one to the next. Rashi in the Mifarej, you can see over here, explains why you would do such a thing. Because one of them will capture the bran, and the other one will capture the solet. And that is because the bran is the most coarse material over there. So if you use a sieve to take it out, the coarse sieve, it'll take out that, it'll let the kemach and the solet through. On the other hand, when you get to a finer sieve, the solet and the kemach are actually the opposite of what you would have thought over here. It's counterintuitive over here, which is that the kemach is finer than the solet. Even though solet means the finest flour, what Rashi notes over here is that the solet clumps inside of the process of making the flour. And so then if you put it through a fine sieve, the kemach will fall through, whereas the solet, which is clumped together, will stay in and be captured. So that's why you're going back and forth. You're going back and forth to take out the coarse stuff, which is the bran and the other materials you're trying to get out of it. And then you go to the finer sieve to capture the solet and let the kemach fall away. And then afterwards you have these blocks or pieces of solet, and then you'll crumble them, and that's be your solet that you're looking for. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, shloshesrei nafot ayu b'mikdash, zolim olam izo. They had 13 sieves stacked up on top of each other, zolim olam izo, and one on top of the next, one on top of the next. El yona koletet subim, taktona koletet solet. The top one takes out the bran and all the other stuff that's in there, and the bottom one captures the solet that you're looking for. So it's basically a process of 13 as well, but it's done in a stacked manner. So it flows through from one to the next to the next. And it wasn't done on 13 separate sieves. if you had the 13 on top of each other, it'd have to be that they were all coarse until the bottom one, which was the fine one that captured the solid. Because otherwise, you're right, that the solid gets captured in the sifter, and then you'd have to somehow turn it over. If they're all stacked on top of each other, it would be a little bit hard to do that. As opposed to the view of the Chachamim, where you alternate between Gasa and Daka. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Yalem Kitzva, Tan Rabbanan, Solet Vafito Uta, Lameich Nikachat Solet, that teaches you, the puzzle that we read by the Lechem Panim, that you buy it when it's solid already. Inayin Shafilu Chitin, how do you know that if you don't buy it as solid, but you buy it as Chitin, that it's also good? Tam Lomar Velakachta Mikom Akom, that you do a Lekicha, no matter what you buy, it's fine, so either you process it yourself, or you buy it as solid already. Yachol Af Bishar Menachot Kain, you would think in other Menachot, this option is also available to you. Tamalomar ota. That is only true by the case of the lechem apanim, which is lakachta solit vafita ota. Ota is a miyut, mipnei haichischon. That is because of the savings or the monies that have to be laid out over here. Mai mipnei haichischon. What does it mean that they wanted to save money or they were trying to do things in a more efficient manner? Amar Rabbi Lazar, a Torah chasa amamonam shel Yisrael. The Torah had pity on the expenditures of the kahal. And therefore, it didn't make them pay out for these types of items. Hecha remiza, where's that hinted to? How do we know that the Torah cares about the monetary possessions of an individual? Tichtev ishkita ta'idav et b'iram. By Meimir Yivan, Parshat Chukat, when Hashem provides water for the people, He doesn't just provide water for them, He provides water also for their animals. So Hashem is chasa al mimonam sheYisrael. Not only did He take care of them, the water was essential for them to survive, but He also provided water for their animals to survive, even though that wasn't essential to their survival. Now, in terms of the chisachon, if you look in Rashi over here, he says, so when you buy solet, you have to buy it at a high price. Aval shar menachot, shehein dvar muat, other menachot, which are a small amount, vein ba'ot tadir, and they don't come on a regular basis, lo tru lukno bo kiim solet. There you have to buy it as solet. So Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that you have to buy solet when you're making a korban. That means when you bring a mincha, when you're bringing lachmei todah, you have to buy it as solet. The only place you have a dispensation not to bring it as solet or buy it as solet is by the lechem apanim. The reason being, because the Torah is chasa mamonam shel Yisrael. If you buy ready-made solet, it's more expensive because you're paying for the processing of it. You're paying a processing fee as well as a premium above that processing fee. It's more expensive. So if you did it yourself, it would be cheaper. Where we're speaking about small amounts or minute amounts of solet, over there we say pay up for it and bring the solet. But the lechem apanim, which are first of all a weekly item, and they are 24 isaron, 12 chalot that come out of it, which is a huge amount, over there was a huge cost savings if you started with wheat and processed it yourself versus having it ready made and purchasing it. Remember, in a sense, the avoda, labor in the mikdash, is free. Because the Kohanim are there to work and service in the Mikdash. So you have free labor, and if you process it yourself, you're going to just pay for the chitin, and then you get your solet, even though it costs much less. So therefore, the dispensation, according to Rabbi Shimon, to bring it not as solet, but to purchase it as chita, only applies to the lechem apanim. It does not apply broadly to other menachot, or the lachmei todah, or anything else that needs to be brought as solet, according to Rabbi Shimon. So there is an offsetting principle, which the Gemara has a tension between, which is that chasam amonam sheYisrael, that in general we try to save money, and we don't make people spend money unnecessarily, especially when it comes to frequent and often. On the other hand, as Josh points out here, there's also the principle, ein aniyu b'makom hashirut. Mikdash is a place of royalty, it's a place of stature. We don't want to be pinching pennies in the Mikdash. It has to be a place of elegance and royalty, and that means that we spend without thinking. So that's the tension that always comes up, and that's actually, I think, what Rabbi Shimon is saying, the balance is. That when it comes to regular menachot, you bring solet. When you're talking about pinching pennies, bring solet. That's the right way to do it. That's the simplest way to do it, and that's the way that it gives the most kavod. And it's like they would do it in a palace. They don't process their own. They buy it, solet, because money is not an issue. On the other hand, when it comes to large quantities, something that's going to be excessive, over there we say better to save the money to the lechem apanim, where you're dealing with large quantities, and in dealing with large quantities, there's a significant amount of money. And so then it doesn't look like you're penny pinching. It's really something that's more about efficiency, and therefore over there we're going to say you can process it yourself, versus having to buy it as solet. All right, with that we finish the seventh perek, Hadron Alach, Elu Menachot, Nikmatzot, and tomorrow we will start the next perek when discussing the Lachmei Todah and the breads that come along with the Korban Todah.